Yeah, we got a good thing on the Monty Show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter where we're even better. M-O-N-T-Y, the Monty Show on Twitter. Full show today for you. Oh, by the way, it's National Pizza Day. And no, the brands, the chains you know are not the best pizza available to you. Not even close. So we'll talk National Pizza Day. What's up on Periscope? What's up on Facebook Live? Appreciate you subscribing to the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. We're going to lead the show today with LeBron and some NBA trades. We got to talk a little Jazz, too, because I had quite the go-around with Jazz fans as to whether or not the Jazz have handled their draft picks. Well, we'll talk about that. Jimmy G's contract in San Francisco. I really like what the 49ers did, and there's one reason. Nothing to do with money. There's one reason I love it. I'll tell you what that is. The most desirable brands in college football are out. The Milwaukee Brewers are cowards. And the Olympics start tonight. So it's all rocking on the Monty Show. Jake, what is this?
This is Workout by J. Cole.
J. Cole. Never heard this song before.
Good song. It's an older song.
Nice job, Jake. All right. Hey, let's hop right in with NBA trades. Obviously, the trade deadline passed yesterday. But I think now in the next 2 days, we're going to see all these guys in new uniforms. Jake, did you like, obviously, the big trade, the Cavs? Did you like what the Cavs did yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think it sets up LeBron to be a leader again. I think it takes the drama out of the team. I think they got a bunch of team guys instead of a bunch of eye guys, which is what they had.
Oh, sure. Yep.
And I think now we're back to what Cleveland usually does. Cleveland is usually LeBron and everybody else. And I think that's where they're at now. And I think that's the right setup because that allows LeBron to lead the team. That allows LeBron to be the guy. I'm not saying he wasn't the guy already, but it just puts him in a better position to just be that guy, just be the leader of the team, put the team on your back. Those guys are going to follow your lead no matter what.
You know, the problem here is that you have a guy in LeBron that I believe for the first time in his career, I think LeBron was checked out for the first time in his career. And I think that's hard to say. You know, I don't know how you explain it. I don't know what it is that we as fans see, but I can tell you, having covered LeBron James, I was at his first ever game in Sacramento.
Epic game.
Yeah, I mean, I've just seen a lot of LeBron up close and personal, and I can't say I've ever seen him this checked out as he was, particularly in January.
Yeah.
And if you followed the show, you know that we've talked a lot about the fact that LeBron changed his game. He went from being the best basketball player on the planet in October, November, and December to really just being a pedestrian basketball player in January. And that, to me, was a really big indication. And I think that's why these trades made a lot of sense. But here's the big question for me, Jake. Today, are the Cavs better than they were yesterday morning?
Yeah, I think they are. I really think they are. I think George Hill coming from Sacramento is a huge pickup. That's a guy who can make a big shot when you need him to make the shot, but he's not going to constantly look for his shot. He's going to look to run the play that needs to be run. He's going to look to make the right pass. He's going to be a team guy. So I think with him, that's a great move. Rodney Hood needs to be more consistent. If he can be consistent, he is going to knock down that three when they need it most.
Here are their guards: J.R. Smith, Jordan Clarkson, George Hill, Jose Calderon, who I think has to play more, just my opinion, Kyle Korver, and Rodney Hood. That group of guards, is that better than IT and Rose? Is George Hill and you know, Jordan Clarkson essentially replacing IT and Rose, is that an upgrade?
Yeah, I think it is. So in my opinion, the setup will be George Hill and Rodney Hood starting, and then it will be Clarkson just running the second unit with JR, and we'll see how that goes. I like the fact that they have balanced scoring in both units now. You don't have a huge fall off from starters to bench guys.
Well, and think about this. You no longer have Shumpert. You no longer have Dwayne Wade. You no longer have Derrick Rose, and you no longer have Isaiah Thomas.
Four guys who weren't really giving you anything.
And now you have guys in Clarkson, who's a scoring machine, but he needs a lot of the ball. So I have a little question there.
But that's why he's going to be a second unit guy who gets 10 to 15 minutes a night. He's going to relieve the starters.
Oh, he'll be more than that. Jordan Clarkson.
I don't think so.
Oh, sure he will. Jordan Clarkson, if they want to win, Jordan Clarkson's probably got to play 25 minutes a night. because he's the true number two scorer on this team. He's a guy, in my opinion, that you can count on, because Rodney Hood's biggest problem is that Rodney Hood does not do one thing consistently well all the time. Game in, game out, night in, night out. He doesn't do one thing really well. And I think that's a huge problem for Utah, and I think that's why Utah let him go. Mm-hmm. I just don't think Rodney Hood's a superstar that everybody had hoped he would be. But I think Jordan Clarkson is. I actually think Jordan Clarkson is. But, you know, maybe the biggest bump out of this trade is that J.R. Smith can become J.R. Smith again.
Yeah.
Because he's lost that mercurial, that personality-filled
The childish J.R. Smith who doesn't have a memory and just keeps shooting.
Yeah, the enthusiastic guy who just doesn't care.
Yeah.
That I think, is a big deal. Their forwards are now LeBron James, Kevin Love, Jeff Green, and Larry Nance. I like Larry Nance. I think Nance over Channing Frye is a huge upgrade. I think Jay Crowder is awkward. He was awkward in Boston. I think he'll be awkward in Utah, but he is. Jay Crowder reminds me of Matt Harpring. Mm-hmm. Jay Crowder reminds me of that blue collar guy who Jazz fans are just gonna love.
Yeah.
I think that works there. That never worked in Cleveland. He never found a home.
Well, that's why
Cleveland.
He worked in Boston. It's why it worked in Boston and not Cleveland, because in Boston, Crowder could be the grit guy while Isaiah Thomas was the scorer.
Yeah. Do you expect Kevin Love to bounce back and fit into this group? Obviously, a broken hand, that's not going to affect his game that much once he heals.
Because the problem is he's going to be out for quite some time. He's going to be out long enough to the point where Ty Lue's going to have figured out the rotations. Everybody's going to have gotten comfortable with their role on this team, however it shakes out.
Are they a better team, though?
I think they are.
Without Kevin Love.
Because they're more of a team now. As far as Kevin Love goes, Kevin Love has got to produce to play now. That's the biggest thing. He's not just going to get thrown out there.
I think you're right in that they are more balanced. This is a more efficient group of guards.
Mm-hmm.
What worries me is I don't believe in Tristan Thompson, and I think you better find a way to get Kevin Love 35 minutes a game, because he needs to give you 10, 12 rebounds a night, and he needs to make 3 or 4 three-pointers. That's how they win. They need to make a lot of three-pointers. And when they were in their championship year, they made a lot of three-pointers.
They did.
They've also got to defend, and I think there's no question in my mind they're a way better defensive team.
Yeah.
Are they better than the Boston Celtics?
That's really tough.
That's a really difficult question.
I think it depends
on
the night. It depends on the night. Right now, the Celtics are better because the Cavs are going to go through, in my opinion, a 6 to 10 game spree here where they're all going to have to get used to playing with each other.
Yeah.
Because these guys have never played with each other. So that always happens. This is what I said about OKC. You notice OKC's humming right along now.
Yeah.
Because now they're playing together.
Well, until they went to L.A. last night.
Well, yeah, that's always going to happen.
I mean, they ran into a buzzsaw with but Oklahoma City losing to the Lakers twice in a week. I mean, that was interesting. They got blown out 106
to 81.
The Lakers
are a lot better than people give them credit for. They're not going to beat, the Warriors, but they will compete, and that's the biggest thing.
Here's a question, and this is an odd question. I get it as we talk about this NBA trade deadline thing. I think one of the most important questions you have to ask yourself is, did the Cleveland Cavaliers at the deadline make LeBron James an L.A. Laker in 2019?
Probably.
Because they created a ton of cap space for the Lakers with this Jordan Clarkson move and this Larry Nance move. And now they've put the Lakers in a position where the Lakers can stretch out no matter what happens with Luol Deng's contract. It's no longer an albatross around the neck of the Lakers, because now the Lakers are in a position where if they cut him, they can stretch that contract out and it will not hurt their cap space. Right now, today, they've got $47 million in cap space keeping Julius Randle. Without Randle, they've got 58.
Yeah.
If they cut or renounce their rights to Julius Randle, which I don't see him doing, but if they were to do that and they stretch out Luol Deng's contract, they use the stretch provision, they'd have $70 million.
It's a lot, dude. It's a lot.
$70 million.
It's huge.
That's probably five players, two max and three mid-levels or whatever you want to, however you want to mix that up.
Still got to draft well.
You still have to draft well, absolute, because they're going to suck the rest of the year. Like, and this is the other thing about the Lakers, beating teams like Oklahoma City, and I know that it's February 8th, beating teams like Oklahoma City is a mistake.
The Lakers are past the tanking phase at this point, in my opinion.
I don't know about that.
Well, how long are you going to tank, though?
Right.
I mean, how long are you going to be that team? It's been 3 years now, right? It's been like three seasons of tanking.
But what do you have there right now? You have a guy in Lonzo Ball who's not playing. You have a guy in Kyle Kuzma that is emerging. You have, and I know I talk about the Lakers a lot. I'm an admirer of the Lakers. Obviously, again, not to keep telling you what I've done, but I covered that team in the Kobe and Shaq championship years. And that's an organization that is thirsty to win. But right now, I look at their young core. How many of their guys are truly projected out to be perennial all-stars, not superstars, just perennial all-stars who, in let's say best case scenario, you get LeBron and Paul George together next year. How many guys on this roster right now can help them? LeBron and Paul George.
Julius can.
Julius for sure. Are you telling me
Ingram
that...
Ingram can.
I was just going to say, are you telling me that Brandon Ingram projects as a perennial all-star?
Yeah, I think he does.
I think he does. He's gotten much better.
How long did it take? How long did it take KD to put on weight? Because that's been his biggest fight in his career. He could always score, right? But the defense was a struggle because he was such a lightweight.
It's 3 years. It was three legitimate seasons.
Three long-ass seasons.
Of lifting weight and eating well.
Well over 200 games.
Is Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and Julius Randle, is Julius Randle a long-term Laker?
Yeah.
I don't think you know the answer to that yet. You would keep him long-term.
I would keep him, yeah.
Kantavious Caldwell-Pope.
No, he's a trade chip.
Lonzo Ball, I think the jury's out.
Is he a bust or not at this point already?
Not yet. I mean, he's a rookie. We haven't even gotten to the All-Star break yet. He's been out with this knee that clearly they're taking their time with it, which I agree with. It's way too early to call him a bust. This is not, again, sorry, Jazz fan, but this is not Dante Exum. This is not Trey Burke. You're just waiting to see if he gets healthy
and plays.
It just feels
like he's nowhere near the Tatums and the Kuzmas of the world.
I disagree. I think Lonzo Ball, when he was healthy, he had a huge impact on that team. He had more of an impact on the Lakers than your boy Tatum had on the Celtics. And I like Jason Tatum, but Jason Tatum is a victim of circumstance in that he's playing a lot early, making mistakes because of the Gordon Hayward injury, but he's also got guys on that team that are killers. Kyrie Irving doesn't want to pass the ball, and I get that. I look at a guy like Lonzo Ball. If Lonzo Ball didn't have a broke-ass shot, he'd be fine.
Yeah.
If his mechanics were not so weird or funky, he'd be fine. Like, Sixers, Markel Fultz. Yeah. Now, they're saying he's not injured anymore.
Yeah, he's got the yips.
They're just not going to play him so he can fix his shot. They're going to tell him, take the year off, and we're going to develop your jump shot. I think that's brilliant. I absolutely would do that.
It's a long-term play.
Yeah,
that's
it's a long-term. Because the Sixers don't need Markel Fultz right now.
No.
They need him next year and in 5 years. So anyway, back to the Lakers. I look up and down their roster. Ingram and Kuzma and Lonzo Ball are keepers, no doubt about it. Julius Randle's a big question here. I don't know if Julius Randle is a long-term Laker. I think it's a question. I now can see, because they featured him the last 3 weeks, I now can see the role that they have in mind for him. And if they were going to have moved him, they would have moved him now.
Right.
Because his value is not going to be higher than it is right now because of how he's playing in his contract. I think they keep him.
Yeah.
I think he's one of those guys that fits in with two max contracts. And I do think that the Cavs immensely help the Lakers if the Lakers choose to chase.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, they took a ton of payroll from the Lakers. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they freed them up something serious. I mean, the Lakers can do what they want now, essentially. So I think, yeah, it was a great trade deadline for the Lakers. I think for the contenders like the Cavs, I think you did what you had to do. You did everything you could do to keep LeBron. But who's the true winner here? I mean, the Warriors are unaffected by any of this. The Warriors are just chilling, doing their thing. The Rockets are just chilling, doing their thing.
Yep.
So who's really affected by this? It's really two teams. I mean, that really matter. It's the Cavs and the Lakers.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk Utah Jazz real quick. Do you believe that the Jazz have been effective with their draft picks?
Effective? What does effective mean?
Have they leveraged the draft? Because they've had lottery picks, and the guys that you're obviously going to think about are the Enes Kanters, the Alec Burks, Trey Burke.
Okay, so Enes Kanter, he's turned into a nice little player.
Not for the Jazz.
But my point is that was a decent pick if they knew how to develop players, right?
Yeah.
They don't develop their players.
Enes Kanter's never going to be a star in this league. He's not. Alec Burks, disappointment. When you pick him 12th, and this is my point. Okay, I understand that you turned Trey Lyles, and I mean, you turned several picks into Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert is now your core. And I'm okay with that.
Right.
You've held on to Derek Favors too long. In my opinion, Dante Exum is a complete bust with the 5th pick in the first round in 2014.
Yeah.
Complete bust. Rodney Hood, I actually think they got value for Rodney Hood. They diagnosed that their 23rd pick in the first round of 2014 was not going to be a long-term guy for them. They moved him. I actually think they did okay with that.
Right.
I look at Trey Lyles. They turned Trey Lyles into Donovan Mitchell, and I'm okay with that. The problem that I have is you have guys in this league like Devin Booker. Devin Booker should be a Jazz man, and this is something that a lot of Jazz fans have gotten on me for on Twitter, is that I think Devin Booker should be wearing the note, and they do not. And they say, going back on Twitter, guys are like, oh, he doesn't defend. What do you mean he doesn't defend? Yes, he does defend. The arguments are incredible. Devin Booker is going to be a superstar in this league. He's in a terrible organization with a mediocre history of coaching under his belt in the NBA, with a subpar GM and one of the worst owners in the NBA. And he's shining out. He's balling out in Phoenix. Devin Booker is a minted superstar in this league. And to me, the issue is guys like Steven Surprise, who goes on and says that Ricky Rubio ate up Devin Booker the other night. Ricky Rubio is a quick point guard. Devin Booker is a long jumper. He's a jump
Devin
shooting,
Booker is
long
Gordon
range
Hayward
2-3.
To happen.
Yeah, like Devin Booker's not supposed to be guarding Ricky Rubio. That just doesn't work. It just goes on. Where Jazz fans want to defend what the Jazz have done in the draft. Eric Rodriguez on Twitter says, jury is still out on Exum. Is the jury really still out on
Exum?
Jury's
still out?
The 5th pick in the draft, and the jury's still out? The guy
in 2012, right?
What did we say? No, 2014. What did we say about Dante Exum when he was drafted? The guy's never played competitive basketball. Didn't want to play college basketball so that he could go to an academy to learn to play basketball and get drafted in the NBA. And all he's done is get injured, not play well, and he hasn't lived up to expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You're the 5th pick in the first round. You have to produce. Dante Exum has not. Eric Rodriguez continued, sorry, Tim, this wasn't your smartest tweet. Hood was a great pick at 23. Mitchell has more upside and will make a ton less money than Hood next year. The Jazz have a ton of money and a ton of picks, and they have a ton of assets. They need to do better with those assets is my point. It's not that Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert, who I think is the best rim-protecting big man in the NBA, it's not that those guys are not good assets, because they are. And ultimately, you turned Rodney Hood into Jay Crowder. Ultimately, you turned Trey Lyles into Donovan Mitchell. I get that. Trey Lyles was the wrong pick, so we'll never know what should have or could have been. We'll never know.
Yeah.
The Jazz have had multiple lottery picks. Trey Burke, complete bust. Donovan Exum, complete bust at this point. You held, like, this is the Derek Favors conversation.
Right.
In 2015, when they, or 2014, when they extended Derek Favors, I said you shouldn't do that. Trade him. It's a mistake to extend him. Extend Gordon Hayward. Make him your max guy. They didn't. So what did they let Gordon Hayward do? They let Gordon Hayward go out and experience the free agent market. And they let Houston court him. And they matched offer sheets. And Gordon Hayward, you can say left, and on Twitter, so many people were saying, well, Gordon Hayward left because he wanted a bigger media market. No, Gordon Hayward left because he felt unappreciated and he wanted to win.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight. He wanted to win.
Yeah, he understands the next contract. He understood at the time the next contract he was going to sign was going to be the bread-winning contract for him.
And, oh, by the way, he also was out here feeling love and appreciation from a bunch of other teams because you allowed him to go out and test the free agent market.
Yeah.
Was a huge mistake. I don't think the Jazz have done as well as they could have or should have done with the assets that they had accumulated. They have been where the Lakers are right now. Draft picks and tons of cap space. Are you telling me that the Lakers will waste that? Well, obviously it's harder to get free agents to go to Utah. So trading for a guy like Jay Crowder is the absolute right thing to do. You have to use your assets as best you can in your situation. The Lakers will do that.
And they are doing that.
The Jazz will not.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, and for those of you who don't know, the Jazz are owned by the Miller family and Larry H. Miller dealerships. They sell a ton of cars. They want to sell cars. And if they win a championship, that's okay too.
Yeah.
The Lakers are only in this. Teams like smaller market teams, Milwaukee, you have to build through the draft and work on trades. Eric Bledsoe is a buck because they went out and made a trade to get him, to work with a guy in Giannis who they drafted.
Yeah.
That's the model the Jazz have to use. And they haven't
done
a good
job. And they had the opportunity to use it too.
Yeah, and they haven't done a good job with that. That's the harsh reality of it. Sorry to tell you that. All right. You can find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. One other thing on the Lakers before we shift gears, because I do want to get to the Jimmy Garoppolo contract. That's a big story. I'm going to talk about that in 60 seconds. But Magic Johnson was asked yesterday about this contract with Luol Deng. And he laughed at the idea of Luol Deng being with the team and whether or not he tried to trade the contract. Like, literally laughed. It's Magic Johnson, and on his left was Rob Pelinka, the new general manager of the Lakers. Pelinka had a pained look on his face while Magic was mocking the situation.
Yeah.
And it's why I tell you, yes, the Lakers had a very good week this week. They won several games. They beat Oklahoma City twice. They did really well at the trade deadline. Magic Johnson is an albatross around this team's neck.
Yeah.
He continually talks about other teams' players. They've paid $100,000 to this point in fines for it. And he does things like laugh at Luol Deng in his situation. And it's like, dude, I get it. You're Magic Johnson. You were really good in the NBA. You have done nothing as an executive.
Yeah.
The Dodgers, by the way, didn't win. The Lakers haven't won. Win something, and then maybe you can laugh at Luol Deng.
Yeah.
But Magic Johnson is really, really wearing me out.
Hey, man, Magic likes Magic.
He is wearing me out right now. And I've never, how do I say this gently? I've never been a Magic fan. And now just seeing the way he conducts himself in public as the Lakers executive vice president really bothers me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, why are you mocking, you know, contract situations?
Dude.
And clearly embarrassing Pelinka.
It's a huge problem. Like, it's a huge problem. And I just wish that he could learn. I wish he could learn to handle himself. I really do. I really, really do. Handling himself, not a problem for Jimmy Garoppolo. How about the deal Jimmy Garoppolo got from the San Francisco 49ers? And here's the question. As I go through this contract briefly, put this in your mind. Did the San Francisco 49ers pay too much for Jimmy Garoppolo? His signing bonus is $7 million in 2018. His guaranteed roster bonus is $28 million. He gets a $6.2 million base, a workout bonus of $800,000, and he's going to get a game check every week for $800,000.
Right.
$800,000 a week to be a quarterback. High. That's a $42.6 million compensation package for year one. That's amazing. After year one, $74.1 million guaranteed. Year two, a base salary of $17.2 million, 7.5 of which is guaranteed at signing. He gets a $600,000 workout and an $800,000 per game check. For 2019, he makes $18.6 million. A year two total of $61.2 million. Here's the line that should really make you shake your head. $10 million more than the 49ers would have had to pay had they franchise tagged him twice. So for 2018 and 2019, they spent $10 million more than they needed to. Did they do the right thing? He started seven games in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, for me, they did the right thing because I think they bought them. They're not buying Jimmy G. They're buying security at quarterback. They're buying a guy that gives them reliability and consistency, you know, obviously barring injury. If he can stay on the field, he gives you that long-term security. He gives you something to work off of. They now have a starting base. They understand, okay, Jimmy G's our quarterback. All right, what can we put around him on offense? What can we do on defense to help that? So I like it. I think you could have franchise tagged him and you could have got that deal and yeah, you spent $10 million more. Yeah. I would have loved to see that only be like $2 or $3 million
sure,
dollars more.
Absolutely.
But hey, it's $10 million more and now you're gonna deal with it.
Here's why they did the right thing. And all those points you made, very valid. They bought themselves out of drama.
Yeah.
They paid $10 million extra dollars to get out of drama, to leave Chip Kelly and Jim Tomsula and Jim Harbaugh behind. They paid $10 million to leave Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick behind. Here's some more reasons. They paid $10 million extra dollars to put the owner in good graces with the fans who have been pissed for 3-4 years now.
Yeah.
They paid $10 million extra for Jimmy G to bring fans to a stadium that's not as great as it could be. Levi Stadium, their new building in Santa Clara, California, is by player vote one of the worst fields in all of professional football.
It's always torn up, man.
They replace it 4 or 5 times a year. The stadium sits the wrong way, so the fans bake in the sun. Like, there's issues with this stadium. Most technologically advanced, comfortable seats. Night games are awesome there. Day games are terrible. They paid $10 million extra dollars so that fans don't think that they don't care about winning. They ran the contract of Jimmy Garoppolo concurrent with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. It's a 5-year deal. They have a plan. They paid $10 million extra to prove that they want to win. And I don't think you can put a price tag on that. The fan sentiment has been so bad towards the 49ers. I don't think they had a choice. The trade itself was just a stroke of brilliance. Not only did they weaken the Patriots, and look where the Patriots are now. Not only did they weaken the Patriots, they helped themselves. They bought themselves out of drama, and they put fans back in the building. And I think that's worth every penny of it.
Brilliant.
Now, he's got to stay healthy, and they got to win
games.
Yeah,
I mean, this is all assuming he doesn't get crushed by J.J. Watt in the next few years.
Speaking of Tom Brady real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing story in Boston. So Ron Borges is a longtime columnist, longtime sports personality.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Borges has been accused of plagiarism. He has been caught stealing other people's work, making it his own in the past. But he has never been caught doing something that he was caught doing today. And it's an amazing story. Ron Borges with the Boston Herald writes a story, a column, that is based on source information. Sources tell Ron Borges that Tom Brady is prepared to hold out if the Patriots do not renegotiate his contract and make him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. So on its face, you're like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. Tom Brady's taken huge discounts to bring talent in, to keep winning. There's turmoil. There's this talk about Belichick and Brady not getting along so well. Tom Brady now needs to get his. And then you find out that WEEI Radio in Boston had one of their callers feed Ron Borges the tip. And then when Ron Borges wrote the column, they outed him. So it seems like Ron Borges got set up and then took the bait of being a lazy columnist and went with sources and it turns out the story is complete trash. It's not true. It's made up. And now Ron Borges is caught in the middle. If you're the Boston Herald, what do you do with Ron Borges?
You got to let him go.
You got to terminate.
You got to. I mean, there's no other option.
It sucks, but Ron Borges should have done his job.
He hasn't earned the right to get past this with his history.
No, he hasn't. And the plagiarism thing in the past, like Pro Football Talk today, Mike Florio, one of the elite news guys in the NFL.
Yep.
He basically put on his website that, yeah, we've caught Ron Borges lifting our stuff and taking it as his own.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to me. I don't understand if the story's true, and this is all just based on, you know, the way that this Borges thing played out. And I would encourage you to follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. I tweeted a link out to that. And I don't understand why people have to be out in front and I'm the guy breaking the story. Okay, I'm all good with that. If you want to be like the guy breaking stories, you can't just take, hey, I got a text or a phone call and I'm going to use that as my source. One source doesn't make a story.
Yeah.
And in the fake news generation that we currently live in, and with the, let's be honest, the media is totally under attack, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it is. Yeah.
The media is under attack, whether it's from the White House or, you know,
everybody.
It's now become, fake news has become a tagline. So how on earth does Ron Borges get caught in a hoax? And it truly is unbelievable.
It's laziness. I mean, it's not going the extra mile to confirm the story. You know, it's not going the extra mile to make sure it's rock solid.
WEEI, here's my question. What the heck is WEEI doing? This is a radio station that is one of the most powerful sports talk radio stations in the country. It's where Tom Brady does his radio show. The Patriots are their partners. Like, I mean, this is a whole thing. You're a partner with the Patriots. So you have one of your callers feed a hoax, a fake story to the Boston Herald, to one of the bigger sports columnists in Boston, that Tom Brady is going to hold out. So you use your golden goose, because if you're a partner with the Patriots and Tom Brady, by the way, Tom Brady pretty pissed at WEEI right now because one of their hosts called his daughter a
pissant.
An annoying pissant. Called his daughter that. And now you put one of your callers in a position to pull a hoax on the Boston Herald. Like, what's the win here for WEEI? I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to understand that. I guess notoriety, but when you as a radio station, and again, I've been doing radio for 27 years or whatever it is. As a radio station, when you're in the news for the wrong reasons, when your hosts are saying things that are racist or inflammatory or calling Tom Brady's daughter an annoying pissant in Boston on WEEI, his radio station where he does his show every Monday morning in the home of the Patriots. Who thought that calling Tom Brady's daughter an annoying little pissant on the radio in Boston in that situation was the right thing to do?
Clearly somebody high up.
So then who thought, because they didn't fire the guy.
Nope.
Who thought at WEEI, yeah, it's a good idea to put Tom Brady back in the spotlight by creating a lie? Like, who thought that was a good idea?
I don't know. It's hard to say what the end game was. It's hard to say what the goal was. But, yeah, I kind of believe at this point with everything that we know about this story that it was just simply, hey, bud, we're going to feed you some garbage, and let's see if you take it. And sure enough, he took it, and that's embarrassing.
And the Boston Herald sports editor told Pro Football Talk today, quote, we're looking into it. I'm amazed by this.
Yeah.
By the way, one other weird Tom Brady story. So we were listening to Howard Stern the other morning, and Howard Stern made an interesting point that a lot of people are uncomfortable with Tom Brady kissing his child on this Facebook docudrama series he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it awkward to see Tom Brady kissing his son? I don't think it is. Like, why is this even a... Is this only a story because it's Tom Brady?
Yeah.
I think it's only
it's
a
only
story.
A story because it's Tom Brady, but I think it's we live in a judgmental country. I mean, when you do something that's provocative, I guess, you know, people are going to be all over it. And so, you know, the awkward thing was his son gave him a peck, you know.
On the cheek.
On the cheek. And then Tom wanted a little more. And that's what people are fixated on.
Okay, clarify that. You can't just say, well, Tom wanted a little more and a peck on the cheek. He essentially said to the kid, wow, that's all I get is a peck on the cheek. And so his son came back over and kissed him on the lips, which is not awkward at all for me. But there are people out there who say it's weird about that. I think they only say that because it's Tom Brady. Because I don't, fathers and sons, we by nature are macho. Now, I don't, you're my son. I don't kiss you on the mouth.
Nope.
Nope. But it's never been that way, right? Like it's just.
No, it's not a thing.
But why is it a problem that it is a thing?
It's not a problem for me. Look, if that's what he wants to do, that's what he can do. You know, I'm not going to tell him how to raise his kid. It was an awkward moment, I guess, for some people. And that's why it's a story.
I think it is. It's just an awkward moment
for those people, and that's why it's a story.
And I think he's getting picked on here because he's Tom Brady. But my other question is, why is Tom Brady doing this Facebook show?
Don't know.
Why would you? Cause
why?
Tom Brady, the other awkward part about this, and now having watched this Tom Brady thing several times, Tom Brady's laying on a table getting a massage while this whole child kissing thing is happening.
Right.
And I guess looking at it that way, it is awkward. He's getting a massage from another guy, which is not awkward at all. As somebody who gets massages regularly.
That's an athlete thing. It's not.
Yeah, I don't think it's awkward. But I don't know why Tom Brady would open up himself and his family to this. This is in his house.
Right.
Like, this is his life. I have no earthly idea why Tom Brady would do this.
I don't know. Clearly, it was pitched to him, and he bought it. You know, it was... What do you do?
Okay, so one other Super Bowl story, and then we got to rip the Milwaukee Brewers. One other Super Bowl story. So Jake is a huge fan of The Ellen Show.
I'm not, actually. I don't watch it. I happen to just catch wind of this story.
What's wrong with a guy liking The Ellen Show, anyway? Anyway, I don't know. It's just weird. It just feels weird. Ellen, but then again, I watch Maury and Donahue and... I used to watch...
Go on.
I'll stop. Anyway, point is, you are not the father. Point is, the kid, the Justin Timberlake
kid.
The selfie kid.
Yes.
Was on The Ellen Show today. And it was amazing that Ellen, who I think is one of the best entertainers on TV, because she does stuff like this, she got Justin Timberlake to call in and talk to selfie kid today on her show. And when the kid, because the kid didn't know that Justin Timberlake was going to call, when Justin Timberlake gets on the phone, it is true magic.
Hi to you right now.
No.
Yeah. Justin?
Brian.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's nice to meet you finally.
Oh my God, I can't believe this.
Like, it's pure gold.
Yeah.
So, Justin Timberlake, the Super Bowl thing is a win straight away.
Oh, straight
from
up.
He
doesn't need the money.
The fact that Nike sold out of the Air Jordan 3 cement that he wore at the Super Bowl within a day, the fact that his downloads went up 8,000% on some of his songs. Justin Timberlake won at the Super Bowl. Nice job to him. Like, no controversy. Yeah. Just a good performance and a really feel-good halftime show.
You know what I really like most about him is he's a businessman at heart. Because what did he do? He released his new album, Man of the Woods, before the Super Bowl. Days before the
Super
Bowl.
And how about at Target? Did you hear the Target thing?
The Target thing.
So he gets on Instagram and says, hey, I'm at Super Target in Minneapolis. And he shows his cart and he's like, yeah, I've got five... vinyl albums, my new
Man
album,
of the Woods.
Man of the Woods on vinyl. He autographed them and he gave them to the store manager and he said, come into Super Target in Minneapolis and go up to the store manager and just say Aardvark and he will hand you an autographed copy of my new record.
Epic.
It's amazing.
Priceless.
Like, totally a win. But how genuine is this kid? Like, I love this because a lot of people were like, oh, plant. It's fake. It turned out it wasn't fake at all. Justin Timberlake surprised that kid at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Justin Timberlake surprised that kid on the Ellen Show. And now
you can't do any better if you're Justin Timberlake.
And now what is Justin Timberlake going to do what is Justin Timberlake going to do for the kid?
So Justin Timberlake's going to tour again, obviously. And yep. So this kid living in Boston is going to be taken to TD Garden, Celtics play, for Justin's show. And Justin's going to buy him tickets for him and his family, and it's going to be good.
This is a win.
It is.
For Justin Timberlake. Yeah. Like, I love this story. Great job by Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
I really do. Before we rip the Brewers who are in Brock country, today is National Pizza Day.
Yes.
Your favorite pizza. I'll buy you a pizza from anywhere. Your favorite pizza is what?
Costco.
Geno's East in Chicago. Geno's East in Chicago.
Well, we're not in Chicago.
Well, I said anywhere. Have a little imagination. Jeez Louise.
Consistency-wise, it's Costco. I mean...
Okay, so fast food pizza, you're saying Costco.
Yeah.
Is there an order to your door? Is there a delivery pizza that you like?
Not really. I mean, the only time I'm ever doing that is if I'm desperate. And we usually go Domino's. Pizza Hut's trash, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We usually go Domino's if we have to do that. But we're either going to Oregano's or Costco.
Yeah, here in Arizona, Oregano's is Chicago-style pizza. Like... I'm kind of I'm not a pizza snob. I prefer pizza. Yeah, I prefer pizza cut into squares as opposed to triangles. I know I'm a terrible human being. I eat ketchup on steak. Come on. We get it. Come on. We get it. I prefer pizza cut in squares. And so there's a joint here called Rosati's Pizza as well that I'm a huge fan of. But if I'm ordering fast food pizza, it's probably Costco sausage pizza. Probably. Because I don't do Little Caesars. Like, I've never eaten at a Little Caesars. I'm not a Domino's fan. I'm certainly not a Pizza Hut fan. My first reaction is Domino's.
Yeah.
I might have Domino's once every 5 years.
What about Papa John's?
It has been so long since I had Papa John's pizza. I know their tagline, which means they do really good marketing. Better pizza, better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe I don't know their tagline.
Anyway. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Yeah.
But the point is that I haven't had it in so long, I can't tell you. Maybe it's great. I have no idea. I don't like Pizza Hut pizza. It's just, it's greasy.
It's cheap, you know. Pizza. It's cheap.
Yeah. If I'm going to order a pizza, I would rather make it at home. My wife makes really good pizza. We all make really good pizza. We have like pizza stones in a really nice oven, and
yeah.
I don't have a pizza oven, but I have a really nice regular oven.
Yep.
So I don't mind cooking pizza at home. I actually think it's really good.
It is.
And really, you know what? The best pizza we've made at home, like grocery store pizza, not Tombstone, but like Fry's or Safeway here in Arizona, their box pizza is not bad. I hate to say it, but Costco frozen pizza from Costco is also exponentially better than anything you can have delivered.
Totally.
100%. Anything you can have delivered. All right, let's rip the Brewers, because that's always fun.
It is very fun.
The Milwaukee Brewers today announced that they are having a Wisconsin-only presale for all Chicago Cub games at Miller Park.
Interesting. So nobody's going to go to the game, and they're going to lose money.
This is really dumb. This is really dumb. So I am a Chicagoan, and you know this. Like, you listen to the show. You know that I'm from Chicago. I'm a diehard Cub fan. It's my entire life. I love Cubs baseball, right? So the Milwaukee Brewers announced today that they're doing a Wisconsin-only presale, and that if you want to buy Chicago Cub tickets, you have to be a Wisconsin resident.
Not doing it.
Because when the Cubs go to Miller Park.
Milwaukee.
When the Cubs go north to Miller Country, it's really Wrigley North. Dude, it's Chicago North. It's blue. It's amazing. The Cubs, in response, put out a meme saying that they're going to have a sale where anybody can buy tickets. And it's Chris Bryant doing the Brizzo memorabilia company spot where he's leaning back in a chair laughing hysterically. It truly is one of the best memes. Follow me on Twitter. I retweeted their meme. It is pure gold. I mean, it is absolutely pure gold.
Yeah.
So that, or it's on the Cubs Twitter account, at Cubs, C-U-B-S, yeah. At Cubs. It's just pure gold.
The problem is you can't – to truly troll teams, you got to win. And the Cubs have won. And that's why they're winning this little whatever you want to call this.
I love it. They said, reminder, the Cubs Twitter account said, reminder, that everybody in capital letters can buy Cubs tickets starting February 23rd, even if you live in Wisconsin. I just love that. And the Chris Bryant GIF meme game is strong. It is strong.
Very strong.
Are you a fan? So in Arizona, for those of you who don't know, in Arizona, there's no home team.
No.
Okay, so Diamondbacks baseball. I go to a lot of baseball games every year. I'm a huge baseball
fan. That's the AAA team? Sorry, my
Dude,
bad. My
spring
bad.
Training hasn't even started yet.
Sorry, my bad.
Rein that back.
Sorry.
But the Cubs, any of the New York teams, like it doesn't matter who's coming in. The Nationals, the Cardinals, certainly the Brewers actually have a huge following here in Arizona.
It's like a neutral site game, essentially.
Yeah, there is no home team. Yeah. Do you have a problem with season ticket holders? Arizona Cardinals, perfect example. When the Bears, the Packers, New England Cowboys. Last year, Cowboys. Do you have a problem if season ticket holders sell their tickets to the opposing fan?
I mean, I guess not. I mean, they spent the money on it, right? You spent the money. It's your ticket.
Arizona State tried to buy all their tickets back for the Arizona game, for the UCLA game. I don't have a problem with it.
I mean, look, you can try to do it, but at the end of the day, it is not the audience's fault that you're terrible. It's not their fault, and I'm not trying to be a complete douche about it. It's not their fault that
you're not trying
terrible.
To be. It just comes natural.
Yeah, it
to
just
you.
Comes natural to me. I am gifted. It's you know, it's a special gift, right?
Douchebaggery is in his DNA.
You know, like it just is. So look, if you put a better product on the playing surface, you're going to get more fans.
Yeah,
we're going to the Blackhawks and the Coyotes Monday. It's going to be a Blackhawks.
Yeah, we're
game.
Going to the Hawks game. I'm a hockey nut. Yeah, I would agree with that. But any other town, any other city, San Francisco, LA, San Diego,
there's
Chicago.
Something special about a home field advantage in those cities. It's all the United Center is ridiculous.
I would agree. National anthems in Chicago. That's the thing. When the Blackhawks come to Phoenix or Glendale, excuse me, because it's out in the middle of nowhere. You always get the Chicago National Anthem where everybody stands and yells and cheers and which I don't have a problem with it. I actually love it, but I'm a Bears fan. I'm a Bulls fan. I'm a Chicago Cub.
You're a good fan. You're a quality organization fan.
Well, the Bulls are terrible. Well, and the Bears are not. Well, the Cubs. Well, the Cubs are now with the Ricketts family. I'm a fan. I'll stop. Hey, real quick. The amazing happened today. 224 recruits. For college football, incoming freshmen. Talked about the most desirable brand in college football.
Roll
what
Tide.
Do you think? Do you think it's number one?
I think it's up there. Number it's so hard to I had to guess.
It's not
my first
it's
guess
not Alabama.
Before the show I said USC.
It's not Alabama. My first guess was Ohio State because Ohio
That's
State
fair.
Has a huge brand.
That's fair.
It's not Ohio State either. Do you have a guess?
I would have said Florida State, but what about Notre Dame?
No, Notre Dame's not top 10. How about Clemson is the number one brand according to recruits?
Dabo.
The number one. Yes. Ohio State number two. I was truly shocked by who number three is. Penn State is number three. With the Sandusky scandal.
Help me.
Recruits said Penn State is the third brand in college football. Like, that's amazing.
But why is that? Because remember, who are they asking here? They're not asking adults. They're asking the kids.
According to Pick Six Preview, who did this story.
Yeah.
Teens pick brands, pros pick contracts. That's true. That's
truth.
True. Absolute
hardcore
truth.
Truth.
If you can't identify the brand space that is genuinely unique to your program, you are instantly number one in the country in that idea.
Yep.
Which is why I think Alabama always wins the recruiting wars. They're always going to be talented. I think Oregon's always going to be talented. I think USC's always going to be. Those big brands are always going to be talented. I'm stunned that with all of the Sandusky Paterno scandals, at Penn State. I'm stunned that if Baylor ever returns to prominence.
Where's Michigan State on this list?
Michigan State is 11. 11.
Then Stanford?
How much do you put Stanford's 8th? Or excuse me, 9th. Stanford's 9th. How much do you put into the fact that teenagers today, because these are 18, 19-year-old kids, how much do you put into the idea that teenagers don't pay attention to the news cycle and have no idea about American history?
I don't think athletes their age pay attention to it, because they don't need to pay attention to it. They need to pay attention to two things, three things really: their grades, their performance on the field, and their body. That's all they got to care about. If you knock those three
Chicks?
Things out of the park, that's on the side. No, I'm serious. That's like a hobby, right? Yeah. As an athlete, that's like a hobby.
It is.
Right? Because your three core things are making sure you got good enough grades to be on the field, making sure that you are in elite shape physically, and then going out and getting it on the field. Everything else is on the side.
Top 10, Clemson 1, Ohio State, Penn State, Georgia 4, Oregon 5, tied with USC at 5, Miami 7, Oklahoma 8, Stanford 9, Oklahoma over Stanford, LSU 10, Michigan State 11, Florida State 12, UCLA 13, Florida 14, Notre Dame 15, Alabama was 19th. 19th in brand recognition? That's stunning to me. Is it surprising to you that Utah is 36th? As a brand in the Pac-12, Utah has one of the best brands in college
Pac-12,
football.
In the Pac-12, not in the country.
What do you know? But they're 36th. What do you know? What do you know? When I say Utah football, what do you think?
DBs in the NFL.
Players in the NFL. Great defenses, players in the NFL. You and I know the brand of Utah.
But we've been there. We've lived in that state.
Truth. Would it surprise you that teams like North Carolina are 27th? A team like a Cal is 37. Iowa is 39. You know, Duke in football is 44th. Like, that's stunning to me.
Clearly, lifestyle goes into this.
How does Pitt have a lesser brand than Baylor? Baylor's 53rd.
Texas.
Pitt is 54.
Texas.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Texas, bro.
Texas Tech is 46. Where's Texas? Texas is 20th, right behind Alabama. Listen to this. Listen to the 20 through 25. Texas is 20. Nebraska, 21. Louisville, 22. Washington, 23. A&M, Texas A&M, 24. And Tennessee, 25. Tennessee's fallen.
Tennessee's got massive history, though.
Yeah, but they've fallen to 25th. That's incredible. Hey, before we let you go today, we got to talk about bad drivers because,
we drive so much every day.
I am surprised I've not been killed yet, because, again, today we saw three drivers holding their cell phone and talking on it while
driving. Killing me, Smalls.
Like, how in this day and age, how do you hold a cell phone in your hand and drive? I don't understand.
How do you consciously do it? How do you feel okay about doing it?
I don't.
You know what that says to me, though? People are buying stuff because they want it to look cool, not because they understand how it works. Like you bought an iPhone 10 because you knew the advantages of it. You understood how it works, what the improvements are over prior generations. We saw a lady today who clearly had a smartphone in her case. I'm not sure what kind of phone it was, but clearly a smartphone.
Yeah.
Holding it to her phone in her right hand, left hand on the steering wheel, and just not at all understanding.
In an infinity.
In clear, like, there's no question. Infinity has Bluetooth. No question about it.
It's
like, 99% of cars nowadays have Bluetooth.
You don't have to ever hold your phone.
And just for perspective, she was doing this in a construction zone that was 25, and we were all doing 40.
And it's not like a Lincoln Navigator comes to mind. The one guy that was swerving all over the road in a Mercedes-Benz. Like, I can't even...
Like a luxury vehicle.
But like my BMW, I had a 535 M Sport. The Bluetooth was terrible in that car. Like, I struggled to get it to work. Now,
but it
worked.
Still worked.
I never held the phone in my... I never hold it in my hand, ever.
There's no reason to.
Now I drive a Toyota Tacoma, and it works great. But you can't tell me that if you have a car that's within, what, maybe 5 years?
Back to 2010, I would say that you'd had Bluetooth.
Okay, so 8 years?
Yeah.
That's the mass of cars on the road. I would say the overwhelming majority of cars on the road today have Bluetooth. Yeah. I understand there's some older phones that don't, I'd rather see you put headphones in, which I think is tremendously dangerous, or use your speakerphone, or don't drive and talk on the phone, but yeah. Do anything but hold it in your hand.
Yeah.
That's what's amazing to me. Anyway, all right, we got to go eat pizza. We actually have Costco pizza waiting for us.
Yes.
Make sure you find us on iTunes. Just search The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show on iTunes. You can find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, and on SoundCloud, The Monty Show as well. We'll talk to you Monday. Say goodbye, Jake.
Bye, Jake.